Hashem appeared to Avraham Avinu and right as he appeared to him, getting a call. Yeah, turn that off. Right after Hashem appears to him, he lifts his eyes and he sees three people are standing somewhere off in the distance, and he decides, I have to go do Achnasas Archim. Remarkable. He has to do it. Hashem was visiting him. He tells God to wait a moment. I have to go do Achnasas Archim. Usually when we're in the middle of Shemona Esrei, we don't do this. You hear a knock at the door. They'll stay knocking at the door, and you'll continue your Shemona Esrei. But Avraham Avinu, he had this idea that you're supposed to actually tell God, wait a minute, I have some guests. As a matter of fact, it says, really does say this. Pasuk Gimel, third pasuk of this week's parsha, he turns to somebody, vague pronoun. We don't know who he turned to. Vayomar, and Avram said, Adonai, im na matzati chen beinecha, al na ta'avor me'al avdecha. Im na matzati chen beinecha. If I found favor in your eyes, al na ta'avor, don't go away me'al avdecha from your servant. Don't go away from me. Who is he talking to? When he says, Adon, Master, who is he talking to? Is he talking to the Malachim? He goes over to these three people. He goes over to the oldest in the group. Says, my master, please, I want to do Achnasas Archim. Don't leave me. Don't go away from me. That's a possibility. However, there's another possibility. And that is, he was saying, Hashem, Adon, master of the world, Hashem, I know you came to visit me. That's great. The pasuk before that, two pasukim before that, Vayeroi love Hashem, Hashem appeared to him. They were schmoozing. Hashem appeared to him, famous medrash, Rashi brings it down, he came to do Bikur Cholim. So it's great. Hashem did Bikur Cholim, visited the sick, Avram's sick, he did Bris Mila, he's not feeling great, maybe it was the third day, so it was the hardest day. Well, that's in medrash. What we know was in the text, Hashem appeared to him. And Avram, immediately after Hashem appearing to him, says, God, could you hold that thought? I've got guests. The Gemara learns from here, Gemara Shabbos. Mikan Amru. From here the rabbis learned. Gedola Achnasas Archim, welcoming guests, is greater than Hakbalas Pnei Ashchina, than welcoming the Shechina, God's presence. Welcoming guests is more important than welcoming God's presence. From here we learn that. It's a famous question. It's not my own. Very simple question. We learn from Avraham Avinu this concept that welcoming the guests is so important. More important than God's presence. Where did Avraham know that from? You can't tell me he knew that from the Torah. Because this is where we learn it from. Well, you know, Avram knew Torah. He learned in some yeshiva. Oh, you mean like he had this story written out? And Avram said, oh, that's my cue. Hold on. Oh, well, okay, I now know what I'm going to say. That's not true. He did not have the Torah. How did he know he could do this? Who told Avram? He's got loads of time. It's timeless. He can spare it.
It's a standard set by standard there. Like, we learned this. It wasn't something which was accepted before, but because Avram, he said that lesson, and therefore we know because Avram was on such a high level that he had certain intuitions about certain things and understood the world to be in a certain way, we were to take that as the accepted standard.
And Avram figured out that they were sent from Hashem. Right? That's what you're saying. Okay, so far, Ashi and AJ are saying he thought of it, he intuited it, he figured it out. What does that mean, he figured it out? It was logic. So what I want to discuss tonight, I know there are a few more answers, is what that means. What is the logic behind this concept? What's the logic? Besides for this question, there's one other famous story. A guy came to Shammai HaZaken and said, I want you to teach me all of Torah while I stand on one foot. And it says that Shammai picked up a pillar and waved it at him. The Marsha says that pillar is supposed to refer to the pillar of Torah. The Torah, which is the pillar of the world, he took the Torah and waved it at him and he said, Chutzpah! How dare you think that 3,000 years of tradition I could give you in one moment? He then went to Hillel HaZaken after an unfavorable response from Shammai, getting either an actual beam waved at him or the Torah itself. And Hillel said, famous saying, that which you despise, don't do to your friend. That's all of Torah, while you stand on one foot. In a positive theorem, ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Do to your friend, right? Love your friend like yourself. In the negative, what he said, don't do unto others what you don't want done to you. He just pulled the wool over his eyes. That is a great thing. Everybody loves that. Ah, yeah, ve'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, that was a great answer, great answer. Yeah, that's why I put on tefillin. Avdol Recha Kamocha, Kashrus. Oh yeah, I keep kosher because of Avdol Recha Kamocha. Sure I do. Tefillin, yeah. The Shabbos. We do all these things because of Avdol Recha Kamocha. Really? How many mitzvahs actually do we do because of Avdol Recha Kamocha? What in the world is he talking about? He liked him? Pulled the wool over his eyes? What was Hillel HaZaken saying? That's the whole Torah. It's a nice idea, but what does it mean? I'd like to suggest a few ideas, and then we'll become, hopefully have some time for practical applications. Number one is that there is no one that can see the Ribono Shel Olam. No one can know, I've got him, I grasp him. That's really difficult. And when you talk about a relationship, building a relationship with Hashem, that's a really difficult concept. And you know what? The best relationship or understanding and connection that you can have with Hashem is entirely dependent upon the relationship that you have with people. You have a relationship with people. Now I understand what a relationship is all about. I can take that knowledge and transfer it over to my relationship with Hashem. If you don't have a relationship with people, there's nothing to transfer. There are a lot of people that think that they have a wonderful relationship with Hashem. They shuckle well. You could go to school and learn the shuckle. There are all these different forms of the shuckle. And you learn there are halachos shuckling. It's the fifth book of Shulchan Aruch. You're not doing it right. You got to learn. If you get a big enough yarmulke, it'll set the imbalance off right, and then it sends you off really wild. Rabosai, without a real connection to people, it's not a real relationship with Hashem. If you take a survey in New York City and ask them, are you a nice person? So I think the running interpretation, are you and I, like, oh, he's a great guy. He's a wonderful man. Everyone's great. And everyone says about themselves that they're a nice guy. Even the mafia, they consider themselves very nice. We're nice to each other. Oh, the people we hate, we'll blow them up. But everybody else, we're very nice to. And I think the running interpretation of being a nice person is that you haven't done anything wrong. You know why he's nice? I mean, he doesn't yell at anyone. He hasn't raped anyone. He hasn't killed. And he hasn't robbed the bank. He is a nice person. I don't know if he did anything positive or all that great in his life, but he didn't kill anyone. He is a nice man. Nice man. So, let me tell you a little bit. A few stories about being a nice person or a not nice person. See, because what I think is that we kind of live in the Seinfeld generation. Seinfeld generation, which is basically we laugh at other people. It is, you see, the old salt and pepper trick. Nobody does that and they're by themselves. Right? You could only do that with friends. You're not going to do that by yourself. Watch the guy spill all the salt in the pizza. It's hysterical. Right, and you're going to go to your room. You'll never guess what I did. Yeah, it's like you're a geek, right? You don't do that by yourself. You need the friends to laugh with you. So, right, so Seinfeld was, the routine goes, he was walking in the mall. So, you know how, like, when they close the mall with those clear doors and you can't really tell that there's anything there? So he sees this guy dashing. He must have been late, and he's dashing through the mall. And my wife says, Jerry, don't you think you should say something? Shut up. I want to see this. This is going to be funny. And the guy bashes into the door. He, like, dribbles off the boom, and he fell back. He's lying there dead on the floor. He goes, but I did a good thing. I called an ambulance. I was laughing so hard, I thought I'd hyperventilate. Seinfeld is the king, and we are the king of laughing at other people. When I was in high school, I went to the high school kollel, Morasha Kollel. And if anyone has the opportunity to go to the Morasha Kollel this summer, I highly recommend it. It's close to Gan Eden. If it would be in Eretz Yisrael, it would be Gan Eden. The Morasha Kollel, run by Rav Willig and Rabbi Yitzchak Kohn, Shlita. It's a group of guys that are into learning. They're into Midos, they're into Musar. Rabbi Kohn gives unbelievable Musar. He comes here every year. He's like 6'6". I don't know, he's a tall guy. And he's got more Yirat Shemayim in a pinky than like most people will ever have in their entire body over their life. You'll see what I mean. And everyone there loves Musar, loves growth, loves learning, but then when we are in the bunk, that's a whole different story. And there was this kid, I remember it very, very vividly. One boy in our bunk came a little late. That put him in the back seat to begin with. And he had certain problems. He had certain social problems that made it worse. Then he was strange. He didn't wake up like to a normal alarm clock. So his alarm would go off for about a half hour. And we really, and the greatest, oh, what laughs we got, when the counselor would come to wake him up. And that was just hysterical. Because first, it would start where he'd scream his name. Goldstein! And nothing. Dead. Goldstein! He'd scream in his ear. Dead. No reaction. So once, he lifted the kid's bed against the wall. It like slithered down in between the bed and the wall. He was lying flat, still asleep. So then, like he'd call the ambulance or something. He then took a bucket of water, poured it on him, and woke up suddenly. Why'd you do that? It wasn't I. Look, you were dead. The kid had this thing. He did wood carvings. He made a dragon once. I thought that was like... we happened to have been learning Maseches Avodah Zarah that summer about... I thought that was particularly interesting. And then he hung a wire for drying his clothes over his bed from the rafters. Now that was like the last straw. It was like just too nerdy. It couldn't be let go. You can't do that. You just don't. And he spent so long on it. I don't know. Maybe it took him a few weeks. I'm not really sure. But I remember it took him a long time to hang this rope from the rafters. And a few of us thought it would just be such a great laugh if one day just cut down the rope and the clothes will fall on top of him while he's sleeping. Just be hysterical. And the truth is that I laughed hysterically and I was involved. I was very much involved. And I also remember the tears running down his face a year later. A year later of how much I hurt his feelings and how much that hurt him. I don't know what kind of tshuva I and the rest of us could ever do to make up for that. Sometimes to make fun, that's the whole goal. It's just not fun until you hurt someone. I was in camp, I was a camp teacher. It's just so funny that I got thrown into the pool with my clothes, wallet, ruined a few things. It's hysterical. My watch hasn't worked since, 12 years later. It's hysterical. It's just so funny. But it's not. At a certain point, it's just not funny anymore. If a person thinks that he could go and have a separate relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bein Adam L'Makom, and then Bein Adam L'Chaver doesn't have to be so good, well, all the people that you pick on, that gets transferred to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. If someone says something nasty to another person, and I'm talking about roommates, I'm talking about parents, I'm talking about siblings, the idea of having an enemy. Rabbi Osler, you can't have an enemy. It just doesn't make sense. If it's coming all one-sided from their side, okay, fine. There's nothing you could do. You think Rav Machlis has an enemy? David Epstein in the first year asked Rav Machlis, Rav Machlis, how do you do it? And Rav Machlis said, how do I do what? Oh, there are crazy people all over your house. How do you do that? And he said, he had it right off the bat. If you'd view them the way their mother does, you'd understand and love them all. It's a real thing. You gotta care. With this being said, having Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, it's got to go past the boundaries of just some people. I have my friends, and then there are the other people that I don't have my friends. They go hand in hand. If Avraham Avinu understood that the whole relationship he has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on his understandings of relationships with people. Hashem, I'm into chesed, I'm into people. If I have any relationship with you whatsoever, it's only because of my achnasas arachim and gemilas chesed. It's because of my kindness to other people. That's why I have anything to do with you. So therefore, wait here for me. I'm going to go do more achnasas arachim, and then I'll be able to relate to you even better. And that is the idea, number one. Number two, the Maharal. The Maharal points out in Pirkei Avos, Perek Hei, Mishnah Aleph of Pirkei Avos. It says that Hashem created the world with 10 sayings, the Eser Amirot. In other words, if you go through the first Perek of Bereishis, Vayomer appears 10 times. Vayomer Hashem Yehi Or, Vayomer Hashem Yehi Mayim. There should be water, there should be rakia b'tochamayim. He said there should be light, there should be this, there should be that. Vayomer appears. Why isn't there just one Vayomer, he said? Why is it 10 different Vayomers? The Mishnah says it's in order to pay back the wicked who destroy the world. It's going to pay them back tenfold. And it's in order to give reward to the righteous who upkeep and fulfill the world. This way we could give them reward tenfold. And that's why it says Vayomer 10 times. The Maharal says, I just don't understand. What are you talking about? What does that mean? You said the word Vayomer 10 times because you want to give the tzaddikim reward. You want to pay back the wicked. There was no way to pay back the wicked. There's no way to give reward to the righteous. What are you talking about? So the Maharal says, let me explain. The number one in Torah symbolizes one individual. Two are two individuals. Three, four, five, all the way until nine. 10 is the first whole number. In the decimal system, that's the way it is. It seems to be that the Torah had a concept of the decimal system well before the Dewey Decimal System. Well before the Greeks, the Romans, we had it, seemingly. I don't know. I haven't heard anyone say this. But I just realized that gematria was a form of math, of drasha, from Matan Torah. And if gematria is a form of drasha from Matan Torah, yud is 10 and chaf is 20. Gematria is based in base 10. So I don't know what that means, but I guess we had the decimal system from Matan Torah. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. However, the Maharal points out that yud representing 10, what is a yud? It's a dot. Halachically, it's a dot. What happens when you split the yud? It's two dots. It's two yuds. A yud is a whole entity, cannot be divided, cannot be split. Let me explain what this means. If the world was created with one saying, that means that when a guy in Australia does a mitzvah, it's not connected to anybody else in the world. When a guy does a mitzvah in the United States, it has nothing to do with anybody else. If someone, chas v'chalila, does an aveira, it's not connected to anybody else. That's if it's said in one saying. One. Everyone is their own individual. But 10 means that we're all connected. That the concept of minyan, 10 people at minyan, is the concept that we're all connected. What does that mean? When one person does an aveira, it affects everybody else. When one person does a mitzvah, it affects everybody. There's an old myth, I have no idea if it's true. I doubt it. But it's a good mashal, even if it's not true, that the weather forecasters have such trouble telling the weather. Why? Because of the butterfly syndrome. A butterfly out in Japan flaps his wings in a funny way. It sends a flurry over some flowers. The flowers get all excited. They send a stronger wind. And before you know it, a tidal wave hits the coast of California. How does that happen? There's a certain buildup. And Rabosei, if that's not true at all about weather, it is true, though, when it comes to mitzvos and averos. Every single one of us, we're connected. All of Am Yisrael. And that means that let's say you're not in the mood to wake up one morning. I don't want to wake up today. Shacharis. I'm not in the mood. Shacharis will just have to go on without me. It's fine. It'll go on without me. They'll be okay down there. But maybe, Rabosai, v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha, ze klal gadol b'Torah. You want to know what the greatest klal is in Torah? You want to know all of Torah? Tefillin, kashrus, Shabbos, everything. In all of Torah, what is it? It's v'yahavta l'reicha kamocha. Because you know what happens when you keep kosher? It raises the entire level of Am Yisrael. You know what happens? If you do the mitzvah of tefillin, if you go to minyan, there are people that are sitting in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital that are sick. Their life is in question. There are people in Hadassah and Karim. There are people at home whose life is in question. There are people that are having trouble all over the world. You go to Minyan, you help that. You daven, you help that. You do any mitzvah, you're helping. What you don't want done to you, for people to say, who cares? Don't do that to the other person. That's the Klal Gadol that Hillel Zaken came and taught this man. You want to know all of Torah while standing on one foot? That even if you would not understand it individually, for you and yourself, I have to understand that it's got to be only good for me. Even if it's not good for you this moment, or you don't understand how it's good for you this moment, but what about the rest of the cloud? What about everyone else? That might be the idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to have to wait for me, Avram says. You're going to have to. There are people here in need that have Echnas HaSarchim. I must do it. How could I possibly relate to you when they're in need in the desert and I have what to offer them? It's not possible. Because the whole point is to connect to other people. With this being said, I think that we should start to understand not just a passive form of making sure we don't do mean things, which certainly we all have to work on, because Rabosai, I openly admit, I had a mean streak. Everyone has a mean streak. Everyone has that in them. Certain people you want to lash out at, everyone's got that inside. And that can be changed, though. That can be gotten rid of. The people that put you on edge, you know what you do? You go and you bring them something from the makolet, from the supermarket. Oh, I thought you may want this. You know what happens? You change, he changes. He annoys me. Go out to eat with him. Take him with you for Shabbos. He won't annoy you anymore. He'll understand them. You'll care about them. I'll end with one of my favorite stories, maybe two of my favorite stories, maybe three or four if I remember those. But one, really, it's a tremendous favorite. A man named Rabbi Zevi Trenk. There was a family at a wedding. Rabbi Zevi Trenk was a rabbi, first grade rabbi in Muncie, not a well-known, not a famous man by any stretch of the imagination, just stama guy. Lives in Muncie, was at a wedding, and this bubby comes up to him, a grandma, and says, "Are you Zevi Trenk?" "Yes, I am." "I heard that you live in Muncie." "I do too. Do you have space for me in your car?" "Sure, I do. I'd be happy to take you." They get in the car on the way home, and the bubby says to Rabbi Trenk, "Rabbi, can I tell you a story?" You know, what do you say? No. So, okay, sure, why not? "It's a terrible story, Rabbi." "Okay, I'm a captured audience, go right ahead." And she tells the story about her grandchild's sitter party. Her granddaughter that morning had a sitter party, and the teacher thought it would be a wonderful thing if they learned the midah of sharing while getting their sitter. That's great. So she instructed all the little girls to bring food in, and they'll share with each other, so they'll develop the midah of sharing together with getting their sitter. Beautiful. One thing. The teacher sent home a list of what's considered acceptable for the Ashkacha Kashrut list. And my granddaughter, I guess, didn't give it to my wife. It got unnoticed, and she brought something in that wasn't accepted. Wasn't acceptable for the teacher. And the teacher took it away. And this girl, my granddaughter, sat in the corner crying the whole time because no one was going to share with her since she had nothing to share with them. And isn't that terrible? And Rabbi Trenk said, "That's really terrible. And it really is a sad story." And Rabbi Zevi Trenk asked a few more questions. And then, lo and behold, they made it to Muncie. And he dropped her off. And that would be the end of the story, right? For most of us, probably every single one of us, that would be the end of the story. What are you going to do? Sad story. The next morning, Rabbi Zevi Trenk calls up this little Chanala, this little first grade girl, and says, "Is this Chana?" "Yes, it is." "I am Rabbi Zevi Trenk, the president of Torah Masorah." He's the president of Torah Masorah, like I'm the president of the United States. "I'm the president of the Torah Masorah Convention. And we just had a raffle of all the little boys and girls that had their sitter party this week, and you won. And I want to send you a new sitter with your name written on it. I just need your name and full address. That is crazy. Who does that? Go out of your way to make this little girl. And she was touched. They got a picture of the mother and daughter davening with her davening from the sitter. They sent a picture to Rabbi Trenk. That's care. That's concern. You have to care about other people. You have to care about every other person. Every single one. There cannot be people you don't like, people you do like, and then I've got my groups, my factions, those are the ones. It's time to bridge all the groups. And Shalach Manas time, Purim. Purim is the time to bring everyone together. That's the idea of Shalach Manas. So Shalach Manas, who do you give to? So usually, who do you give to? The people you like. What about the people you don't like? I'd like to say, you should make a list of all the people that maybe you've rubbed the wrong way. Shalach Manas time, give them. Go, give them Shalach Manas. We make Shalach Manas, extra Shalach Manas, to give to cab drivers on the street, to give to bus drivers. When we were Shalim, we would take buses to get around in Purim. We give them to the bus drivers. You got to spread Simcha. That's what you got to do. What did Shlomo Carlbach do when he made it to Purim? The only Chag he was in Eretz Yisrael for in his lifetime was Purim. One Purim. And he went, played a Chagiga, took his money, went to a bakery that night that was still open, and he said to the bakery, "How much is it going to cost me to buy out the whole bakery?" "Excuse me, I want to buy every single thing that you have left." He bought out the bakery. He went to the wine store. "I'm buying out the wine store. Every wine bottle in this store, put it in the van." He had a van. They put the wine, they put the pastries, everything. And he went out around Yerushalayim. All the poor people, all the people that he knew that were sad, that were depressed, he gave them. "This guy talks too much. This guy is sad. This guy is high on himself. This guy is annoying. This guy's got a squeaky voice. This guy has squeaky shoes." Whatever it is that makes you annoyed and on edge, "I can't deal with him. He's my roommate. I can't get along with any roommate. Just stump, because he's my roommate." Rabosai, a real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a real relationship with every single person. Emirat Hashem, we should all use Avraham Avinu as a model. Learn this midah of Avraham Avinu. Proactively try to bridge friendships with every single person. I'm talking boys here. And Emirat Hashem, if the Avdol Recha Kamocha is fulfilled, then we will all be able to maximize and fulfill our greatest potential relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu.